What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hi, we'll start the show here in just 1 second. But first, here's Stephanie Miller with a word about Omaha Steaks.
Summer's almost here. You know what that means. Backyard grill outs. Oh, my God. Yes. The president talked about July 4th. And the backyard grill out is not complete without Omaha Steaks. Order this mouthwatering Let's Go Grill package today, which includes 4 butcher-cut filet mignons, 4 boneless pork chops, 1 pound of chicken breast, 4 kielbasa sausages, and so much more. OmahaSteaks.com. Type Stephanie in that search bar. You save over 45%. Plus, you get the tasty bonus of 12 ultra-juicy Omaha Steaks burgers free. That is almost 4 pounds of free burgers, Chris.
Whoa.
To top it off, you also get $20 off on your first order. OMG. Here's to warmer days filled with fun family memories and epic backyard grillouts featuring the best steak of your life, guaranteed by Omaha Steaks, the company that's been bringing people together for over 100 years. Go to OmahaSteaks.com. Use that code Stephanie in the search bar. For a limited time, you get 12 free Omaha Steaks burgers and $20 off on your first order at checkout. That is OmahaSteaks.com. The code is Stephanie. You're going to love everything at OmahaSteaks.com. Don't forget to type Stephanie in that search bar.
And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA, covering the whole wide world.
Right on!
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Trying to talk about the fact that I've been chasing the American dream my whole career. There's some things that are very difficult to talk about. Family, kids. I can't go to a school anymore. I used to go to a lot of schools. And you see all these little kids running around. Can't talk about it.
Why?
Making sure that these kids have a shot at the American dream like I did. It's important.
Bob Seska!
I don't know what we're yelling about!
The Bob Seska Show!
Oh, man. Two things make me laugh. Donald Trump's teeth falling out and John Boehner crying. Endlessly entertaining. I don't know what's wrong with me. Something's wrong with me. From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, April 6, 2021, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, my name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 77 of the Biden-Harris administration, 580 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at TheBobSeska and on Twitter at BobSeska_go. And oh, look, it's Buzz Burbank.
When you say Buzz Burbank.
Yep.
You've said it all.
trying to live the American dream.
We're gonna need more Kleenex in the green room. Bob, it's for Mr. Boehner, you see. He's Bob, I'm Buzz, and we are both mildly acidic and slightly radioactive.
That's a fun story, isn't it?
Just like the water in Florida.
That's right.
You can make fun of Florida all you want, but at least we can find our water in the dark.
See, you said it. I couldn't do that joke. You have to do that joke, Buzz.
Try our three-headed fish. Do you like to read, Bob?
I do when I have the time.
Are you reading?
Yes, yeah.
Are you reading anything at the moment?
No.
Well, I happen to have more time for that now. Okay. I'm reading Matt Gaetz's Guide to Dating.
Yeah.
Yeah, very first page. And I thought this was telling, Bob. Step one, sign up for Apple Pay.
Perfect.
If only we had known.
That's right.
People donating to the Trump campaign say he used their credit card numbers multiple times without their knowledge.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Who knew it'd be that easy to fool a Trump supporter?
Can't wait to talk about that one. Yeah.
Oh, also, oh, by the way, check out our new Patreon page. well, the boycott of Georgia has really heated up over the voter suppression law, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotten so intense now, even the devil won't go down there.
The Bob Seska Show.
It's a new day with new places to go. We're Transvaginal Airlines, probing our way into exciting new destinations. With more round trips to over 20 states that are going one way, we're the only airline that goes to such depths to inspect your personal carry-on. At Transvaginal, we know why you fly, and we'll be there for you, whether you like it or not.
We're Transvaginal Airlines, something special up in there.
All right, classic from Rocky Mountain Mike. Thank you, Mike.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure it out, too.
This has been the best day of my life, Bob.
Yeah, yeah. Perfect show so far. So where do we start here? You know what? Here's part of what's throwing me off today. I am desperately trying to get vaccinated now because they just opened it up. Wow. All the mass vaccination sites are going 16 plus as of today here in Maryland. So Kimberly and I can get vaccinated at a mass vaccination site, but we are pre-registered, which means we just have to wait until our number is called, right? Is that how that works?
Have you considered giving $100,000 to Ron DeSantis? Have you considered? Because if you could do that,
we'll, checkbook.
We'll get you your somewhere. Shots.
Yeah. But, you know, it's fun to kind of go through this process now because I hadn't dealt with it up until the last couple of days. One of the things I did yesterday, in fact, is I went down to the giant pharmacy right behind our apartment here.
Giant is the name of the chain, I take it. It's not a comically large pharmacy.
That's exactly what it is, because I'm super, super tall. But no, I went down there to see if they had any extra, and it was one of those things where I felt like I was asking for drugs. I felt like one of those, like in college, when you go up to a guy and you're trying to casually bring up the idea of buying some pot from the guy, but you don't know quite how to breach the subject casually. And that was kind of what I felt like walking up to the pharmacist counter, and there was a guy, pharmacist, standing right behind the counter. Can I help you? And I said, yeah, I'm looking for any extra COVID vaccinations. And I felt like almost he was going to say, what, to sell on the black market or what? You know, it was like I was asking to have them myself, right, to just take them home with me and start giving them vaccinations.
It's all in the wording, yes.
That's right. So it was so weird because I kind of got that kind of dubious vibe back from the pharmacist because his eyes kind of widen and he looked at me, and of course he's wearing a mask, so I can't see his facial expression, but his eyes get big as saucers, and then he just slowly shakes his head no. And it was the weirdest reaction. I said, so you don't have any extra COVID vaccinations? Same reaction. Just that the dubious no. And it was the slightest head shake for the no reaction. And so I wasn't quite sure, is this not even cool to do? Should I run out before the security comes to haul me away? Should I get the hell out of the store, out of the gigantic pharmacy?
Maybe if you hadn't held the gun, maybe that would... He would have reacted differently. I don't know, but can you imagine what would that be like if you could get COVID-19 vaccinations on the street? You know,
yeah, that'd be great. See, that's I'm trying to side hustle that way. Yeah,
looking for a healthy time.
That's right. I'm going to start a Patreon for that one. Yeah, sign up for $1 a month, and I'll go give you a vaccination just at your house. But you know, it's that period of time now where we're in that gray area where, yes, they've made it accessible for people 16 plus here to go to the mass vaccination sites. Fortunately, there's one within very, very short driving distance.
Good.
But the other places at the pharmacies and so on, you go to your Walgreens or CVS's or your gigantic pharmacies like the one that I go to, they won't be giving out vaccines for 16 plus until this coming up Monday, until April 12. So it's either I get the mass vaccination site alert on my phone sometime between now and then, hopefully between now and then, or I try my luck going through the pharmacist's lottery, you know, where I have to go to the website, and there's a whole process to set up an appointment for a vaccination. at through these pharmacies, because you get the whole list and you've got the map, right. And then you go to each one. And you know, I actually found an open appointment, but realized that's when I discovered, oh, the pharmacies aren't doing it for everyone until next Monday. But the fact, that's the confusion. I imagine a lot of people are going through that experience right now. Oh, it's opened up to everybody. I guess you can go anywhere and get it, but it's not. It's only opened up to everybody for the big mass vaccination sites. Which I envision almost like that, you know, like the FEMA camps set up, you know, yeah. Like there's conspiracy theorists outside protesting, that kind of thing. Military guys with bottles of water. That's how I envision those.
Distribution of the vaccines is bizarre, to say the least, certainly in Florida, you know, as many people learned by watching 60 Minutes Sunday night, that in Florida, the governor had an opportunity to put the vaccines into CVS's and Walgreens, which are just absolutely everywhere. Yeah. Every corner has both now. And throughout Florida, even in the Everglades. Yeah. And so they're just everywhere. He went with Publix because they donated $100,000 to his campaign or more, depending on how you count it. So every state is having difficulty with this. And again, if Trump had set up some kind of a national approach to this when this started, we wouldn't be in this position now.
Well, that's right. And you know what? All the Trump supporters, all the red hats are saying, why isn't Trump getting credit for the Operation Warp Speed and the vaccines and so on? Well, for the same reason you guys didn't give Jimmy Carter credit for freeing the hostages. Well, I mean, if you want to give Trump credit for the vaccines, you got to give Jimmy Carter credit for freeing the hostages.
That would be nice, but they're not going to agree to that.
Of course not.
Yeah, of course. But what we can, well, you know, I mean, I can let that one go. Trump, launched, let it be known, put it in somewhere that he launched. You know, Nixon did China, you know, even the most evil president seemed to pull off something good. And so if it'll shut him up, give him that one. What do we care? We have all the other wins. That's how I look at it.
Oh, you think he's capable of shutting up, do you? Well...
No, I'm not. I'm just talking about. No, I'm talking about supporters. I'm talking.
Oh,
about
I see. Okay,
voters,
gotcha.
Voters.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, right now we have the lowest COVID death since March 2020. So we're rounding the bend. I mean, as I said on the Indie Music Countdown on Monday, this is it. This is the light at the end of the tunnel. And provided everyone could do what they need to do by getting vaccinated and continuing to wear masks for the time being and so on.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Dr. Fauci is cautiously optimistic here, and I would not ignore his caution. He hopes and believes that in this race, this current race between the vaccine and the variants, that the vaccine will win. He thinks it probably will.
Yeah.
But it's not a certainty. And with a majority of Trump voters still refusing to get vaccinated, the evangelical Christians in poll taking, we see it's evangelicals who are the ones who are refusing to take the shots now. Mm-hmm. The African American communities has belied all the predictions that it wouldn't take the shots because of what it had been through historically.
Yeah.
And the Saturday Night Live pointed out so well this week.
Yeah, that was funny.
The African American community is very much aware of the need for those vaccines and has been all in on them.
Yeah, just 222 COVID deaths reported in the U.S. on Monday, I believe this was.
We're down to like a plane crash a day. So,
shit. Well, now you put it that way. I mean,
well, it's but we were looking at more than a 9/11 every day for
That's
a while. So,
absolutely true.
When you look at it on that scale, this is very hopeful. The fourth wave. Didn't come despite all efforts at Texas Ranger Stadium over the weekend.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't think we're completely out of the woods, but absolutely this is encouraging. And the vaccine rollout, that's, I think, the big news. We're up to 4 million people a day on vaccines.
Yeah, Saturday, 4 million people on Saturday. Amazing.
Yeah, and again on Sunday for 8 million in 2 days.
Yeah.
That's getting it done.
Yeah.
That is getting it done. And well, there's just so much exciting, positive stuff going on, really.
Yeah, yeah. 1 in 4 adults are now fully vaccinated. There's an average of 3.1 million shots administered over the last 7 days. Big fucking deal right here. And you know what? For a while there, I was going, you know, as I go through my vaccination hunt here, as I troll the websites to see if I can wedge my way in, as I go down and visit the enormous pharmacy behind our house. I mean, my God.
They call it giant.
Yeah, that's right. It's like something you'd see in Dubai, for God's sake. But in all seriousness, I was thinking, you know what? I'm going to see if I can scout out and land myself a Johnson & Johnson vaccine, because it's just once and done. I don't have to go back. I don't have to weave that into my schedule somehow or return visit.
Slacker.
Just do the one thing.
Do the work, Bob.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well,
be like me. Get the two shots.
Yeah, well,
get the two shots of the Pfizer. That's my argument.
Well,
they're all good.
Yeah, but down at the enormous pharmacy behind our house, if they had had extra, it would have been the Pfizer vaccine. And I've just determined, you know what? I don't give a shit. I don't care which vaccine get it.
You shouldn't. I'm just, yeah. I there seem to be a fewer side effects with Pfizer. Not that that should dissuade anybody from Moderna. If you got a chance to get a Moderna shot, by all means, do it. It ain't that bad. And in some cases, no side effects at all.
Yeah.
Some people, you know, are like tired for a day or something like that. But it's okay. It's, you know, it's like getting a flu shot. You'd experience perhaps in many cases the same thing. You know, so nobody should be dissuaded from getting any of the vaccines. But if you can swing the Pfizer, that'd be my fave.
So you're on Team Pfizer. So is Jody Hamilton. Jody Hamilton has really been pushing the Pfizer vaccine as well.
And if I'd gotten Moderna, I'd probably be on Team Moderna because it honestly wouldn't have been that bad. And they are equal. Pfizer and Moderna are equal in their effectiveness.
Yeah.
Johnson & Johnson, a little less,
but
still highly effective. Know this about vaccines. We're talking about like 90% effectiveness. In the top two vaccines, and close to 80 in the Johnson & Johnson. The average flu vaccine year to year is only 60% effective. Mm-hmm. Get it. By all means, get the shot, because it reduces your chances of getting the flu by 60%, which is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
So even 60 is considered good immunity. If you can get 90, you know, after all we've been through as with the variants out there, get as good as you can get, but get something.
Well, remember, if you haven't been vaccinated, by all means, send me a DM on Twitter. I can maybe hook you up, because, you know, I'm going around all the pharmacies getting all their extra, hoarding all their extra for myself, because I want to jab everybody myself, right?
Bob opens trunk to car, says, these just fell off a truck.
Yeah, like I'm a side character on Breaking Bad. Come on over. Check this out. Open up the trunk. Yeah. I've got big attaché cases with foam inserts on the inside, and they're all the vaccines are lined up. And I put a green light underneath so they glow like radioactive material coming out of a Florida water treatment facility, like something like that. What the hell is going on down there with that? I saw that. There was a terrifying bit of news that came down about that, because that's right kind of in your neck of the woods. I think it's further south than where you are.
Not far from me, but I'm fortunately not in the path of whatever may happen there. I think the threat is diminishing. I don't know. But and yet, on the other hand, it never will. There is no way to solve this. The best proposal so far is the worst proposal, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
How do they get rid of it? These were gypsum stacks from mining for gypsum for fertilizer.
Yeah.
And it's slightly, as I joked at the top of the show, it's mildly acidic, because of the water, to be mildly acidic and slightly radioactive.
Slightly radioactive.
Yeah,
fun.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't mind the radioactivity, but I hate the acidity. but these are wastewater ponds, and they contain runoff wastewater from what used to be a fertilizer plant. And there are 24 of these things all over Florida, and Georgia's thick with them as well.
Yeah.
There may be others, and they're just toxic waste dumps, and it's like a a berm, a bowl of dirt, a big bowl of dirt that is lined with plastic. Well, the plastic gave way. Shocker.
Yeah.
And now it's leaking out, and they've evacuated, 300 homes. They're thinking about evacuating a prison in case this thing breaks, because that seems to be what it wants to do. They're trying to drain water off of it as quickly as possible and dump it into the Gulf, where it will encourage the growth of algae, which will draw oxygen from the water and kill all the sea life.
Oh, Jesus. Are they really going to do that? The radioactive water they're going to dump into the Gulf.
It's only slightly radioactive, Bob, and that's... That's actually not the worst of it, and that gets diluted, and we have radioactivity naturally occurring in our planet, in our soil, in our minerals. So, that's not the big threat. The threat is the deprivation of oxygen to sea life.
Yeah.
And we just have to wait and see how bad that is, and the weather will be a factor in moving this stuff around and mm-hmm. diluting it. I mentioned on a previous show, I think, the fact that the U.S. had buried some terrible toxic waste from weapons materials deep into the Arctic ice. Well, with the Arctic melting, it ain't so deep anymore. This stuff comes back to haunt us. And this is the tip of the iceberg, and figuratively, in terms of the dumping we've done, that it's going to come back and bite us in the ass, and bite us hard.
Can you imagine if there was even less regulation on this crap? I mean, if you were down a wish list of things to do, deregulate all of this crap, right? That's the
most of our laws were written by industries they're supposed to regulate. The industry hires its own lawyers, its own specialist in writing bills. They pre-write the bills, they give them to Republican lawmakers, all lawmakers, and say, here, we've saved you a lot of work by drawing this up for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, through laziness and corruption because of the donations, which I guess Mitch McConnell's willing to do without now, because of all that, that's how those laws get in. And they're soft, obviously, on the industry. If you get to write your own rules, you're going to go pretty easy on yourself, and that has happened in industry after industry after industry.
Yeah, when I saw that culvert, because the first big news bulletin that came down about this wastewater leak was video of this culvert spewing green liquid that really seriously looked like it was out of a movie or something like that.
Simpsons.
It was like,
oh, I saw it and I said, oh, that's from The Simpsons. It was sort of that bright neon green.
Yes.
That's why I said, try the three-headed fish. They're delicious.
It was amazing. It was like suddenly I thought the Toxic Avenger was going to pop up or something like that. It was just that cartoony. It was crazy. But then I...
This is from years of neglect. Decades of neglect.
And that's what I kept thinking about, is the regulations that we have in this country and the drive by Republicans to, and certainly in the last 4 years under Trump, they stripped away so many different regulations as far as wastewater, waste materials being dumped into drinking water supplies and so on. And I was watching, I've got a Q update later in the show.
Good.
And it's not necessarily what you think it is, but I was watching the next episode of the Q Into the Storm documentary series on HBO, and just one of the things that I noticed was they're in the Philippines talking to Ron and Jim Watkins, who are both associated with 8chan, and at one point they're walking down a hallway toward an elevator, and one of them cautions the film crew to watch out for that power cable. Now there's an extension cord. It's not even a power cable. It's an extension cord running from an outlet in the hallway around the corner and then into the elevator shaft. And one of the guys announces, yeah, that's the power cable for the elevator. And it was just like, wait a minute. I want to hear about that. I want to hear about the fact that in the Philippines, there's no regulations in terms of how to hook up the power to an elevator. So they've got an extension cord stretched from an outlet in the hallway around the corner into the elevator. And if someone were to kick that out or not get it caught up on there, because it was up high, it was like about like head height. In the hallway. Right. If someone were to bump into that and pull the cable out, that's it for that elevator. That elevator goes down, down, down. This is what it's like to live in a nation where there are very few regulations on things like that. And,
well,
and
the,
that's the kind
US
of world.
Is what it's like. The U.S. has increasingly become a nation in which we live that is without rules.
That's right. Absolutely.
Biden has turned a lot of that around, a lot of it on his first day, and the change is coming.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Pacific Islands, I completely forgot to mention at the top of the show, I got a major guest confirmed for April 28th, the April 28th interview show, Wednesday, April 28th. My very special guest for that show will be Senator Mazie Hirono, right here on the show.
Oh, my gosh. That's what we call a good get.
She's going to be here to promote her forthcoming book, Heart of Fire. In it, Senator Hirono chronicles her evolution from a dogged yet soft-spoken public servant into the fiery critic and advocate we know her as today. So I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be a brief interview because she's going to be on a... Yeah, it's going to be one of those press tour things, Buzz, where...
Right, exactly.
Yeah, where they sit and they do interview after interview after interview.
Then here's your challenge. Your challenge as an interviewer is to keep her on the line as long as possible. And you do that. Now I've been in this situation. You do that by just being engaging and asking as much personal stuff about them as you can.
There you go.
Within the proper boundaries, of course. But asking them about themselves helps bring them out, and they'll stay longer. And if their publicist tells them it's time to go, they'll tell the publicist to buzz off.
Well, they wanted to keep it just to 10 minutes, and I said... Uh-huh. Well, it's got to be more like 20 minutes. So I'm actually, I've got
for half an hour. You can get a half hour out of this, Bob. I know you can.
Well, I've got the senator's people contacting me. Hey, we want to put the senator on your show. Do you want to have her? But you only got 10 minutes. And I say, well, you got to at least give me 20 minutes. Right. And they, of course, agreed to that. So
That's great. Now go for the 30.
There you go. I'm going to be pre-recording it on Monday the 26th, but it'll be on the website, on all the different podcast platforms by the 28th. So John Boehner drunkenly told Ted Cruz to go fuck himself in his audiobook. And this is the greatest thing in the world. I think we talked about this just as a preview a couple of weeks ago, but now we finally have the audio. This dropped, of course, it was like 3 minutes after the Friday show, I believe it was, when this audio clip dropped. Here's John Boehner from his audiobook, very clearly hammered, and then the end is what you want to listen for. Wait to the end.
Freedom means you can be a genius and invent new products that make you millions of dollars and helps millions of people. It means you're free to work your way to becoming the first in your family to go to college.
Is that true, John Boehner? Is that really? Is that really what you get the freedom to do?
It means you're free to reach as high as you want, no matter where you came from, even if you're a little kid sweeping a bar out.
Oh, wait. See, he just mentioned a little kid. Okay, usually that's his trigger. Whenever John Boehner mentions little children, that's when he
brings tears to his eyes. That's right. Literally brings tears to his eyes.
I can't talk about children anymore. Here's all everybody goes...
And all the snot. Yeah, fun. Yeah, it bottoms up, Mr. Speaker.
In Southwest Ohio, take it from me, you'll never know where you'll end up. That's freedom. I'll raise a glass to that any day. P.S. Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
There are other quotes in his book that are about Ted Cruz that are also delightful without the profanity. But I take it back. Asshole appears in one of them. there are other great things to read about Ted Cruz from John Boehner, who now, I have to note, owns some interest in a cannabis company.
Yes. See, that might also be the thing with this audiobook.
You
he
just
may be
maybe both. Yeah, it could be.
He
bourbon.
May be hammered and stoned at the same time.
Bourbon and bud.
But I noticed that he sounds a lot like J.K. Simmons. John Boehner, you're not going to be able to unhear this. Yeah. Next time you hear the what is that, Farmers commercial? Farmers?
Yes.
Yeah. When you hear that, you're not going to be able to unhear the sound of John Boehner because they sound exactly the same. J.K. Simmons.
The timber.
Yeah.
Yeah, the timber is identical. Yeah.
Exactly the same. Here's John Boehner saying, Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself again. Listen carefully. It sounds like J.K. Simmons.
Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, that sounds just like J.K. Simmons. And it's got the added benefit of telling Ted Cruz to go fuck himself, which can't be said enough. I mean, if you've got a microphone in front of you, you better be saying Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself. Every man, woman, and child in this nation. As soon as you sit down, if you host your own podcast.
Yes, let's do it together now.
Yeah.
Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself.
There you go.
Very good. Now we've
Ted
done it.
Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. I like to propose that we do it in unison, forgetting that there's a delay.
Okay, so in just a few minutes, we're going to talk about how Donald Trump's campaign bankrupted some of its suckers, I mean supporters. Oh, yeah. That's going to be a fun story. Once again, the fundraising effort by Donald Trump turned out to be super duper crooked. How about that for a shocker?
I can't believe it.
But first, before we talk about that, let's talk about the after party. Every Friday, Kimberly Johnson from the Start Me Up podcast and I record a fourth podcast for the week. We do one every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, but few people know that we do a show on Fridays for subscribers only on our Patreon page. The Friday After Party podcast is loaded with all the politics you want, while also including uncensored, completely obscene conversations about sex, drugs, movies, television, our personal lives, all the crap we can't get away with on the free show. So please help support this podcast by subscribing to our Friday After Party for just $10 per month. Plus, you're also going to get two postmortem shows every week included in that level of support. That's BobSeskaShow.com or just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show.
The Bob Seska Show. Indie Music Rewind, April 2020.
Oh yeah, from Los Angeles, state to state. The song is called Kings from their Motives EP. StateToStateBand.com is the website address. Please go download recklessly. Get going right now. These guys are great. Yeah, we're rewinding all the way back to April of 2020, replaying all the songs we played 1 year ago, because why the hell not, right? Some of these bands, we only play their songs once, or one of these songs once. Why not give them another shot? Because there's some great stuff in there. We don't want to bury it. We don't want to bury it in the past. We want to bring this stuff back.
I got to tell you this. You know, I guess I've sensed this for a while now, but the thought was just crystallized for me.
Yeah.
And that is, you are now my favorite DJ.
That makes me laugh and laugh and laugh. Yeah. Because DJ, right? That's yes. Identifying as a DJ.
Well, when you do this show, you are.
That is true, yeah.
I enjoy it. I like the music that you bring to me and the rest of the audience.
Oh, well, thank you. And, you know, I'm kind of embarrassed because on the Indie Music Countdown, I did the dumbest DJ thing in the world. And really? I left it in the show because it's fun. Why the hell not? But I segued from the name of a song into the weather. How about that shit? It was Rainy Days and Mondays, the Carpenters song performed by the great C.C. Grace. And I came out of that song and I said, well, it's Monday, but it sure isn't raining. It's really nice outside. Oh, my God. I can't believe I just did that. Because I used to have a program director who would do that. And she had an afternoon show. She used to do that on every song. She would come out of like Fire and Rain by by James Taylor. Say, oh, we got a
speaking
lot of
rain.
Yeah. Speaking of rain, let's go to John Cosette from AccuWeather. And no, wrong. You don't do that. That's the bad DJ.
Bad DJ.
Yeah. In my defense, I caught myself doing
it. See, it would have been worse if you'd actually launched into the weather yourself and given the weather forecast. That would have been,
Yeah, that's right, on a podcast. Oh, by the way, BobSeska.com/music if you want to submit your songs to the show. Yeah. Thank you for doing that. We're going to get all the new music into the month of May already. I've got a big queue, people lined up. I've got new music from Megan McDuffie. I can't wait to play that song. It's a huge song, and it's also got a really disturbing video, but that's all going to be in the month of May. Okay, so Donald Trump's campaign bankrupted some of its reporters. This is... Jesus God.
Some of it's donors, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, some of it's donor. All the people, you know, giving money through the WinRed donation page. And this is the Republican Red Hat version of Act Blue, right? And one of the things they did is they left this little button automatically clicked by default. It's a button that says, this will be a reoccurring donation. And that's automatically selected when you go and you donate to the Trump campaign. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened.
I actually see that on a number of websites where they're pre-selected. And if you want to opt out, you have to uncheck it.
Yeah.
Like I said, who knew that Trump supporters were not smart enough to do that? Although the Trump campaign did make it very, very small and changing it and moving it and setting it aside in boxes and sort of thing.
And it was a deliberate move. They did it, once temporarily earlier in 2020. And then at some point, they rolled it out big time and made it a permanent feature on that collection site. It was right around mid-June when this happened.
All campaigns have to refund a certain amount of the money that they get. And at the beginning of the campaign, the Biden campaign was actually returning more donations than the Trump campaign was.
Right.
But then that quickly changed, and it ended up, the Biden campaign ended up sending back $21 million to their donors because they'd over-donated. They didn't know the limit or, because it was just a donation they could not in good conscience accept.
Yeah.
So those were the $21 million in refunds for the Democrats for Biden.
Oh, wait, did you just say refund?
Refund! Refund!
So
that's
fun.
A Trump supporter.
That's right.
Maybe asking about his refund.
Yeah.
And so anyway, $21 million for the Biden campaign had to be returned. $122 million for the Trump campaign. $101 million more than and it was clearly intentional. The journalists have nailed them on the intent of that operation,
mm-hmm.
and they're going down for it. Maybe as a side bonus, certain companies that conduct similar practices will rethink their positions as well.
Yeah, what was happening was because of this button being selected on the donation page, mm-hmm. suddenly a couple of weeks later, people are looking at their bank statements and going, why is there no money in my checking account? Because in one case, there was a $300 donation that this person thought was a one-time donation. Turned out it was a weekly donation. So after a number of weeks go by, suddenly they owe, $8,000, and then they can't pay their rent or their utility bills because all their money is gone. So they have
one guy. Yeah, yeah. One guy makes $1,000 a month. He gave $500. He said, this is everything I can give.
Yeah.
And they took another $500 and another $500. Ended up, they soaked him for $3,000. This guy living, making $1,000 a month, made this $500 donation, got soaked for $3,000.
Yeah.
This is the kind of criminality we're talking about. It's the kind you and I and everyone listening has always known existed in Trump world, but here it is in prosecutable form.
Yep, absolutely. And so they had to, as I said, they had to refund.
Refund!
Refund!
Refund! Yeah.
They had to refund all that money. Something like you said, 10% of their donations compared to only 2% of the Biden donations needed to be refunded.
Right.
But Rachel, I think Rachel Maddow last night had a great point about this, which is to say that this was the Trump campaign, allegedly, we'll throw that in there. This is the Trump campaign allegedly taking out zero interest loans from their own supporters, because that's the mentality. Well, if you can get the money paid to you so that you can get through the election cycle, you can just refund after the fact and then basically treat that like loans to the campaign, which
the good news is interest rates are low, so they didn't make a lot of that money. But it crooked, absolutely. Illegal, absolutely. I'm eager to see somebody pay the price, the campaign. And, of course, the Republican Party is tied in with this because Trump is the Republican Party. And that's certainly been demonstrated in the lack of support for anything from Senate Republicans.
Well, also the 10% that was paid back in refunds was also more than the amount of money that was spent on Donald Trump's legal fees for challenging the results of the election. So there you go. There's the priorities. You know, another large batch of Trump-supporting suckers completely get fished in by this scam artist. And you think at some point maybe they'll figure it out. Maybe say, well, this is probably a bad idea to deal with this guy. Like so many subcontractors and contractors over the years have figured out that dealing with Donald Trump is a goddamn disaster, certainly financially for them. I mean, look, talk to a bunch of the contractors in Atlantic City, for example, who never got paid for their work on his monstrosities in Atlantic City. And so that it's the same thing being played over and over and over again. We talked about the story during the transition period of time where Trump was raising money for the legal defense, but it was, you know, it was the Save America. The Save America PAC, where hardly any of it was actually going to legal defenses. It was all going to pay off other debt, maybe to refund all this money.
And it was all based on the big lie, big lie that the election had been stolen. And people were like, yeah, Trump supporters were, and they gave all this money. And then he soaked them for more. Yeah. And I wonder at the Trump PAC, which did this, through that company you mentioned, the three letters, whatever it was, I wonder if the party or the Trump PAC realizes now, oh gosh, they're not as stupid as we thought they were.
Yeah.
Or are they thinking, hey, they were as stupid as we thought they were?
There you go. Bingo. That's it. It confirms all of their notions about their own supporters. Remember, Donald Trump's supporters are his first victims in anything that he does, whether it's a lie, whether it's some sort of crooked, illegal action that he takes. It's all to exploit them initially. And then obviously it bleeds out to the rest of us and the judicial system and on down the line, the campaign finance system, et cetera. But the first victims of Donald Trump are always his own people. When he's lying, he was lying to his own people first, and they were buying it hook, line, and sinker. And,
sure. That's what they're there for. They're the suckers he selected.
Absolutely. Yes. And I can't help but to think of G. Gordon Liddy every time I hear the word suckers, too.
Suckers.
Yay, suckers. 42% suckers. Okay, well, you know what? Here's some good news. Here's some good news on the show.
Plenty of that.
Yeah. Great news from the Senate parliamentarian. Apparently, the Democrats can use reconciliation one more time this year, and then evidently several more times next year. Am I reading this right, Buzz?
I don't think so. I think what it means is the Democrats get four shots this year. Some years, let me skip past all the geek stuff first. I texted Bob last night. I said, you know, how silly is it that I'm excited about budget reconciliation? But when you hear the bottom line of what it does, you'll love it too.
Yeah.
It makes it easier for Democrats to get done the big stuff that they came
sure.
to do.
Yeah.
And that's all you need to know about it. It means that certain things that the Democrats want to do, that the majority wants to do, in this case the Democrats, can be done on a simple majority vote instead of the 60-vote majority that's required otherwise without budget reconciliation. And if you're lucky, as a Congress, you'll get one of those a year. Some Congresses have had none. By happenstance, and because they never got around to it during Trump's last year, we still have last year's, we end up with a total of four. Now, the first two are spoken for. The first one, in fact, has already gone out, which is the COVID relief bill. The second one is the Build America Back, or whatever it is, the infrastructure bill. That means the Democrats have two more big ones to spend. Now, they have to do with money. They have to have something to do with the federal budget. It can't just be rule about Black Lives Matter or something per se. It has to somehow be connected to the federal budget. But it's two really big opportunities. So I'm thinking to myself, and I hope others are thinking this too, what's your wish list? What are the other two big things you want to see the Democrats do with their majority this year in the Senate? Climate comes to mind, first of all. And, you know, my other favorite is education, but I'm sure other people have other ideas. We've got two Democrats have two tremendous opportunities here, thanks to getting this bonus of four budget reconciliations in a year.
Yeah. Unheard of. Are those things going to qualify, though? Like an education bill, is that going to qualify?
If it, I guess if it has to do with education budget, spending, it has to do with education spending, if a climate bill, if an additional climate bill had had to do with spending, whether it was hiring people with federal funds to build wind and solar generators, you know, as long as there's spending involved, it's something they can do. That's why it's called budget reconciliation. And so it has to have to do with the budget.
So it looks like the other things, like, for example, I always forget the name of the piece of legislation that involves election reform and gerrymandering that the House has already passed.
H.R. 1, the For the People Act.
Yes, For the People. Exactly right. Thank you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's not going to be able to be passed through budget reconciliation at all.
Although that's an example of one that doesn't qualify because it has nothing to do with the budget.
But that one, we need to reform the filibuster, and right now,
still,
Kristen Sinema has come out against any reforms to the filibuster whatsoever, including, obviously, eliminating the filibuster entirely on legislation. So another fly in the ointment appears in the filibuster reform process that, again, even if they decide, okay, well, you have to do a standing, talking filibuster. You have to do...
But I wonder, I mean, is this an issue that we can get a Mitt Romney vote on, a Susan Collins vote on? Can we somehow tip it? I know that we can't get Republicans to vote for anything. Certainly, Collins and Romney won't be voting for the infrastructure plan. But might they vote for election reform? I don't know. We should ask, because if we can overcome Kristen Sinema, then we're set. We can get it done. We have to keep pushing and keep trying and keep working on Sinema.
I don't know if you're going to get any Republican support to reform the filibuster. You may get it for the actual piece of legislation once it rolls around into the Senate, but in terms of reforming the filibuster, getting Mitt Romney on board or someone like that to reform it, I think would be a steep climb, wouldn't it? Have they expressed any reactions toward the possibility?
Not that I've heard. Someone should certainly ask, because sometimes, I mean, when it comes to democracy, Mitt Romney has been kind of right on lately.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to know that this was not the original intent of filibuster, that it has been, the process has been perverted. And he might be amenable to giving us that vote. I don't know. And maybe there are one or two others. You're not going to get 10. Yeah. But if we can get one or two, I don't know. I don't know how that would work or, what the way around that is. I just know that the vaccines are rolling out. As you pointed out, the death numbers are down. Democrats have these four opportunities, three remaining, one of which is spoken for, to really get some stuff done to help the people of this country.
Yeah, and this would have all been avoidable. Like, they wouldn't have had that kind of power if we had just elected more Democrats to the Senate. So this is, serious motivation to get on our goddamn horses and make sure we're outnumbering the Republicans for the midterms, make sure that we bring the same level of electoral force to the polling places as we did last year. If we can do that, then we may avoid this problem in the future.
If you like what's happening here and now, especially compared to what we have all just been through, if you like this at all and you don't want to lose it, then we need to push harder to get the kind of election reform to get... Yeah. You know, this thing with, and I thought about writing a joke about this, and then I thought, no, it just is a joke by itself. Mm. McConnell saying that the corporate CEO should stay out of politics. Oh, you mean at donation time as well? I mean, you know, and that's it just sort of wrote itself and doesn't really count as a joke. It's just it's a wise observation is what it is. Is McConnell saying that he's in favor of election reform? Is he saying that he would like to get corporate money out of politics? Because, that's something that we could make happen with his cooperation.
Mm-hmm.
And now that he's revealed himself on that subject, you know, let's hold him to it.
It's so hysterical, this goddamn Mitch McConnell story. Parts of the private sector, he said, keep dabbling in behaving like a woke parallel government, whatever the hell that means. But it's okay for Mitch McConnell to bring in Oleg Deripaska. He can interfere right. with American politics all he wants, right?
Do you have the rest of that quote? Because McConnell goes on from there a little bit, and he gets Trump crazy after that.
Yeah. Well, he warned of serious consequences for... That's the extent. From election law to environmentalism to radical social agendas to the Second Amendment, part of the private sector keep dabbling and behaving like a woke parallel government, he said. Corporations will invite serious consequences if they become a vehicle for far-left mobs to hijack our country from outside the Constitution. Order. So what? Suddenly yes, Mitch yeah, McConnell, the Republican Party, is anti-corporation. Is that what they're trying to get away with now?
And Mitch McConnell's doing the Trump thing of calling us mobs of leftists.
Jesus God.
And our agenda. You know, this is about building roads and bridges and
And making sure people can fucking vote, for God's sake, please. And also, you know, but if you're a megachurch, that kind of corporation, interfere all you want, dabble all you want. If you're Russians, dabble all you want. Come on in. Mitch McConnell's got some land to sell you in Kentucky. This is the fucking nonsense that we're getting from this party now, without any regard to their history or what they stand for, because they don't really stand for anything anymore.
I'd love to see an income cap on churches where, you know, poor churches wouldn't have to pay anything.
Right.
And the more mega you are, the more mega your taxes.
Yeah, let's see here. There's a Mike Lee agrees with Mitch McConnell. Mike Lee said, why does Major League Baseball still have antitrust immunity? It's time for the federal government to stop granting special privileges to specific favored corporations. It's amazing to say that. And then you know who says, chimes in is Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz says, exactly right, and Senator Lee and I will be working hard to end Major League Baseball's antitrust immunity. Holy fucking shit. Really?
They won't succeed.
Well, this is like Georgia did this. Georgia did this to Delta Airlines. Delta Airlines said, yeah, we don't like this whole business with the election law. Come on, stop it. And then suddenly the Georgia legislature passes a bill to rescind Delta's tax breaks.
Delta's credit, the CEO took it farther and said that the laws, the Republican voter suppression laws in Georgia, were based on a big lie that the election had been stolen. I mean, I really appreciated the CEO going that extra mile with that statement.
This behavior is full Trumpism, is what this is.
Oh, yes.
I mean, ever since January 20th, I've been saying, we may be done with Trump, but Trump isn't done with us. And it may not be him specifically. It's the entire style of politics that he introduced to the United States 4 or 5 years ago that continues to survive and manifest and grow. And now this is it. This is the petty vengeance that Donald Trump popularized as president, popularized in the private sector as well, against his enemies. This is what he does. He seeks vengeance. It doesn't matter who it is. Major League fucking Baseball, this is like part two of the attacks against the NFL for the kneeling during the anthem and shit like that. Right. Corporations, bring all the money. Give us all the money. We'll give you all the tax breaks, all you want. What was that big tax scam bill that Donald Trump signed? Huge corporate giveaway. And of course, none of these rat bastards are going to support Joe Biden raising the corporate tax rate in this infrastructure bill. Not a single fucking vote on that, I'm sure, from these Republicans who suddenly, all of a sudden, you know, oh my God, these corporations, they're out of control. Really? This is where we're going with this? It is so utterly insulting on so many different fucking levels.
Throughout politics, and I'm reminded again of Governor DeSantis in Florida, his pay-for-play scam where he gets $100,000 from the Publix supermarket chain to distribute the vaccine, and without necessarily taking into consideration the whether or not certain neighborhoods have a Publix in them. It's a very nice store. It's not in all neighborhoods, whereas drugstores like CVS and Walgreens are. This was all for money.
Yeah.
And so whether it's the state level, the federal level, this takes us back to H.R. 1, the For the People Act, which is designed to turn that trend around.
Yeah. You know what I keep thinking about too, Buzz, is fucking Citizens United. All of these guys, especially people like Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself.
Ted Cruz supports Citizens United. I mean, Citizens United was all about Dinesh fucking D'Souza. That's what Citizens United, Dinesh fucking D'Souza wanted to make a film about Hillary Clinton, a propaganda film smearing Hillary Clinton with a bunch of lies. And the Supreme Court said, yeah, you know what? Corporations do have political speech. It's money. Yeah. So bring it in. All these people now are saying, oh, no, corporations shouldn't have political speech. Really? Right, maybe you can join us. Join us in getting Citizens United overturned. Join us, Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz. Go fuck
Mitch
yourself.
Mitch McConnell.
Yeah. Mitch McConnell, Ted Cruz, Mike Lee. They can all join us in introducing a constitutional amendment that overturns Citizens United. But they will never, ever fucking do that. They will never do that. They will never put their money where their mouth is. All they'll do is seek retaliation against anyone who pisses on their fucking parade.
If the Obama administration was about the audacity of hope, the Biden administration may be about the hope of audacity. Because I think Democrats have finally gotten up off the bench and started fighting back. I'm extending this to the more aggressive approach you'd like to see us take on this particular thing. We should pursue Mitch McConnell and Ted Cruz and all the others for saying one thing and saying another, and just keep repeating that hypocrisy until the public demands they answer for it. But we see this over and over again.
Well, it's only a matter of time. Only a matter of time before I'm sure Ted Cruz will sign on to a constitutional amendment to getting corporate money out of politics. I'm sure he'll be totally fine with that, and Mitch McConnell too.
We have to keep trying, and the more majority we gain, as you pointed out earlier, the greater the chances of that be. So I guess the rest of my message would be, if you like what's going on right now and you don't want to go back to the ways of before, sounds like an old timey story. If you don't want to go back, if you want to go forward, you need to, you can't just sit back on your laurels. We need to work to preserve this and to grow it, to push it farther. Because obviously, although we've got power, we don't have enough necessarily to make the kinds of changes that would make politics in this country more honest.
Yeah. Well, we can start in Georgia. It may be easier to pass a constitutional amendment in the state of Georgia, right? Brian Kemp should be on board with this, taking the corporate money out of politics, because corporations have no business interfering in politics. I mean, this is the line, and you know, maybe we go state by state and pass those amendments state by state, the state constitutions.
This just in, the Constitution has pulled out of Georgia. So,
okay, we'll take one last break and talk about a couple more things before we wrap up the show right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
All of the streets are lined with mourners, waiting for a parade that never comes. All of us are backed into the corner, looking for
The great Matt Jaffe, Raise the Dead, written and dedicated to the victims of the Parkland mass shooting from a few years ago. This is from The Spirit Catches You. MattJaffeyMusic.com to support Matt's work. This guy should be collecting all the Grammys, as far as I'm concerned. Just an amazing singer-songwriter.
Lyrics aside, and those were important and impressive enough. His voice, his vocal quality, and his guitar playing, amazing.
Brand new singles out right now, so make sure to support his music. And I love it. I'm playing every time there's a new Matt Jaffe song, every time there's a new Freak Bass song, whoever, brand new singles come out. Megan McDuffie as well. I just got to get them on the show because they're just absolute the highest end quality.
That was beautiful. I'm tearing up like John Boehner.
Well, was there a lyric about the little, I guess it was about the little children. That big schnot inhale that he does in that tape.
Me and John cry.
One of my favorite things in the world. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know. If videos of people falling down, hysterical to me. But videos of John Boehner crying, also so hysterical. I'm an evil, evil son of a bitch. I think so.
We're both a little bit off today, which I think may result in one of the best shows we've ever done.
You know, I've got my fingers crossed because a couple of things happen in the course of the show. And usually this is a conversation we save for the postmortem, but it's worth mentioning here. Right before we started the show, my microphone broke. My mic stand itself is being held together with duct tape. Some other things going on that have just thrown me completely off balance for the course of today. So I'm just a little off balance. And maybe that's why I'm getting such delight out of hearing John Boehner cry.
The mention of duct tape, by the way, is in no way a solicitation for Patreon. It's not. Don't.
Thank you.
Bob is fine with the duct tape. He doesn't need any, doesn't need your charity.
Oh, hey, look, I've got an update on Q. There's a.
This is the other thing we were excitedly texting each other about.
Yes.
Bob and I were excitedly texting each other about Q.
Q, yes, Q. Wait, this is a different Q.
Uh-huh.
The real Q. The actual Q.
Yes.
The Q that's kind of a real guy, played by John DeLancey, is coming back to the Star Trek universe. He's going to be in the next season of Picard season two. So I'm really
very
excited about that. Yeah. Just one of my favorite characters on that show. And I realized Q was only in 7 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation. I think they did 178 episodes total of that show.
They were all great. They were all great. It was always something special when he showed up, and I expect it will be again this time.
Yeah.
I think for those of us who are nerdy enough to have a favorite, I think we like the one where Q was human, where he had to be mortal for a while.
That's right. We played a clip of that last Tuesday. Absolutely. Yeah. But the actual Q, I'm going to skip ahead because while Kimberly and I only watched the second episode of the Q series on HBO, the Q Into the Storm, the documentary series, the finale actually aired the same night, which was Sunday night. And they revealed in the finale who they think Q actually is. And it's pretty solidly clear that Q is really, and spoiler warning in case you're still watching it, but this is just news anyway.
Let me guess, John DeLancey.
The Q character was apparently initially played by a bunch of different people on 4chan, bunch of different Anons, as they call them.
Studio musicians.
Yeah. But now on 8chan, Q was being portrayed by probably Ron Watkins, who was the admin of 8chan at the time. It could also be his dad, Jim Watkins. Both of those guys just are creepy as hell. Just like watching them on the HBO series, my initial thought was, oh my God, it's absolutely one of those two guys. It has to
this
be one of those two guys.
This dude in the Philippines is who you are all following.
Yeah, a scam artist, just like Donald Trump.
With an extension cord in his elevator.
Exactly
this
right.
This is who you're following.
Yeah, and you'll never see that on the Enterprise. No extension cords in the turbo lifts on the USS Enterprise D. So that mystery solved. I mean, I think for a while there on the documentary series, they were hypothesizing, is it Frederick Brennan, the guy with the osteo imperfecta? Or is it Ron or Jim Watkins? And it turns out Ron Watkins basically admitted that he was Q Skype interview.
This is, and hopefully this will spoil the fun of being a Q follower, because the fun of being a Q follower, I think, for those folks has been guessing everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Guessing is what it's all about. It's they guess this and they guess that, and of course, none of it's based on any reality or fact, but guessing is fun.
It makes the whole movement seem even sillier, and especially it's, knowing, and this is kind of half silly, half terrifying, that
it's demystifying.
Exactly. Half terrifying that there are members of Congress who still buy into this horse shit. And speaking of horse shit, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Oh, yeah, there she is. Marjorie.
Why the long face?
She still buys it. She's an idiot. She's a sucker, just like all the rest of them. Yeah. Finally, some great news here. We're going to end with some more great news. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, here we go. Asa Hutchinson, the Republican governor of Arkansas, has vetoed that anti-trans bill.
Yes, thank God.
He said, this is a government overreach. You are starting to let lawmakers interfere with health care and set a standard for legislation overriding health care. The state should not presume to jump into every ethical health decision. And fancy that. Yes. A consistent Republican. A Republican conservative who thinks that government overreach is bad, even when it's something that he may not necessarily agree with. It's incredible.
And he doesn't think government should be regulating people's bodies, which is interesting conflict with his stand on abortion.
Yeah, absolutely. That's hence Transvaginal Airlines at the top of the show.
Exactly. That he said this again, these are words we must make him adhere to. We must make him live by these, just as we must make Mitch McConnell live by his words that CEOs should stay out of politics.
Yeah.
Let's make Asa Hutchinson and other Republicans live with their words, because what he said could have just as easily been said in defense of the veto of an abortion bill.
That's right. Looking for consistency among Republicans, it's a tough search.
I'm not looking. I'm trying to force it.
Good. That's the best way to do it. And but every once in a while, one pops up that is a little bit consistent. And I got to give it to Asa Hutchinson here for doing something
that.
And
for whatever his motive, thank you.
And it's, of course, great news for all the trans people in Arkansas, which has got to be not the easiest thing in the world to be a trans person in Arkansas. Holy shit. That alone, geographically, culturally, it's got to be horrible.
Are you stereotyping hillbillies again?
Shit. Oh, man. I have so much to say about that. But we're here at the end of the show.
And, we just don't have time now.
Coming up on the Postmortem Show, that's exclusively on our Patreon page. As soon as this music is done playing, we keep right on talking. And we post that on our Patreon page. It's called the Postmortem Show. About 15, 20 minutes. You know, if you sign up for $5 a month on our Patreon page, first of all, you're supporting the show, which is really, really important, because now I've got my microphone held together with duct tape. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, some news along those lines, about the finances of doing this podcast.
Yes.
I have resolved the problem with Amazon. I am
good.
Back in good graces with Amazon, but 1,000% of the credit goes to our mutual friend, Brian Hoekstra. Who is a wonderful man. Yeah, Brian Hoekstra. Yeah,
give it up for Brian.
Brian Hoekstra called in some favors with some of his buddies, and one of them happened to work at Amazon.com and cleared up my entire issue. That is solved. I'm still part of the Amazon Associates program, and I can't say anything more about it, because apparently it's wrong to sell things on Amazon, even if you're tasked with selling things on Amazon. But
if you ever decide to quit podcasting and you want to control the internet, talk to Brian.
There you go. I'm really seriously thinking about that. The next step for the Bob Zeska Show is controlling all of the internet. And I'm going to rely on Brian Hoekstra to do that. So, all right. Postmortem Show is on our Patreon page. That's BobZeskaShow.com. Or you can try Patreon.com/BobZeskaShow. It's going to take you to the same place. You just sign up. It's quick, easy, simple. And it's a reoccurring donation. See, I'll tell you that right off the top. It's reoccurring. So just be aware of that. It's not one-off donations. Happens all the time. But we tell you, unlike Trump. Okay, take care, folks. Bye-bye.
Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself.